Look forward to summertime. Hands up if you're going away on holidays in the next few weeks. Quite a few of you. Hands up if you've just been away on holidays. Look at that. I think there's more of you who've been away that are going away, actually. But this is the time of year, isn't it, where hopefully school is nearly finished, just a few more days to go, and soon summertime will come. And some of you might actually find a bit of this. Or if you're really fortunate and your children go and play somewhere else, you can just chill out. It's that time of the year, isn't it? But it's also a time of the year when, certainly for me, I want to say thank you to lots of people this morning. And in a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand if you're involved in any organization as a helper or a leader in our church, if you're involved in our music, if you're involved in any aspect of our church life from a sort of week-to-week basis, we're involved as a helper or a leader. I'm going to ask you to stand in a minute because I want to say thank you to you. And I also want to take a moment to pray this morning and say thank you to God. This is the chance where we get to this time of the year where hopefully, if you've been involved, you've been busy with so many activities, we get a chance just to slow down for a few weeks. But I also want to say thank you. So if you're involved in that way, stand up now, okay? Don't worry, there'll be lots of people standing up. You won't be standing up on your own. If you're involved in leadership here as an elder or a deacon, stand up. And I want to say thank you to you this morning. I know lots of people are already headed off on holidays. So we're not all here this morning, are we? But let's just pause. I want to say thank you. Lord, thank you for those in our church family who are so committed to helping and to leading in all kinds of aspects in our church life and as part of our church family. Thank you for the gifts that you've given. Thank you for the way that they've been used. And we pray your blessing on those who are standing, on those who are already away, that this may be a period of the year when we will be refreshed physically and spiritually, and that we might just know your blessing on our lives. Thank you for the way in which you bring us together, you give us gifts, and you enable us to serve you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, please sit down, because I want to do a little survey this morning. I want to try and get a feel this morning of where you might be going to on your holidays. So, who's going away on holidays? Yes, where are you going? Do you know? Ask your mum. Pardon? Is your mum going to give you a hint? Cornwall. Yes, I got that right? Excellent, good. Okay, who else is going? Where are you going? France. Come on, adults, you can join in as well. This isn't just for the children, okay? Who else is going away? You guys going away?
Where are we going?
France. Sounds good to me. France is winning so far. Where are you going? North. Pardon? North. Up north? North. Oh, sorry, Norfolk. Oh, I don't know where these places are. I'm only learning. I'm a new boy. Yes, where are you going? Canary Islands. Canary Islands. Wow. It could be warm there as well, couldn't it? Yeah. What about some of you been away? Where have you been? Who's been away? Come on, somebody put your hands up. Where have you been? Devon, okay. Here's a man who's been away, not on holidays, but working. Where have you been?
I've been to Lebanon.
Lebanon, okay. Not the safest part of the world, is it, at the moment, Roy?
No, but the sun's shining.
But the sun's shining. Well, I know you've been there working with Sat7 and significant work there this week. Anybody else been away recently? Yes, David, where have you been?
Scotland.
Did you get the sun?
No.
No sun, but you came back for it instead. Andrew, where are you going?
Sailing the west coast of Scotland.
Sailing the west coast of Scotland. We get around, don't we, as a Crofton family? Yes? Katie. Pardon? Slovenia. Oh, there's a new one for us this morning. Slovenia. Who else has been away? Going away. Yes, you guys are just back. Pardon?
Devon.
Devon. Gosh, Devon's on the agenda this year, isn't it? You been away?
Yeah,
oh, you met. Okay, you guys all met up in Devon, okay. Paul and Jean, you've been away. Where have you been?
Isle of Wight.
Where are you going? Norfolk. Yeah, I've got that one. Yeah, I've got sort of sinking in at this stage, actually. One of the things that you might do, you've got your hand up, yeah? Where are you going to go?
His brother is away at the moment in...
Where?
Where's he gone? Where's Runa gone?
Spain.
Spain, right. Whoa, very good. Okay, right. You're not worried about that too much, are you? No, probably are. One of the things you might enjoy when you're away is one of these. A picnic. Or maybe if you're sort of at a different stage of life, one of these. Which is slightly different, isn't it? But if you're going to have a picnic, and you may be having a picnic today actually, here's another question. What's your favourite food when it comes to having a picnic? That's a good question, isn't it?
Everything.
Everything, somebody says. Well, that's probably right. Okay, what's your favourite food?
Sausage roll.
Sausage roll, okay. Marcus, what's your favourite food on a picnic?
Yeah, I'd go with the sausage rolls too.
You go with the sausage rolls, okay. Anybody else had picnics recently? Oh, there's a few hands up down here. Okay, picnics, you made me walk all the way down here. What's your favourite food?
Cake.
Absolutely right, that's a great... Roy, what's your favourite food?
Salad.
Salad, that's a healthy man. Is that right?
That's what I enjoy.
Ursula saying yes, that's right. All kinds of interesting foods on picnics. Well, we're going to be thinking about picnics this morning. We're going to be thinking about the greatest picnic that ever took place. And we're going to read about it in the Bible a little bit later on in our service this morning. I have a great memory of picnic as a child. Maybe it just goes back and shows my age a bit. But I can remember going on holidays, all of us packing into this little car. And it was in the days when you weren't really allowed to drive and listen to your radio. And my dad loved cricket. And the rest of the family used to have to sit on a rug outside of the car. And we'd be given these packets of crisps that had little packets of salt in them. Some of you remember those? Yeah? Still around, are they? Probably not. But they were absolutely gross. And I can remember eating these crisps and watching my dad sitting listening to the cricket in the car on his own. But I've got all sorts of strange memories about family picnics. But we're going to be thinking of a very different kind of picnic today. Some of you had picnics at interesting places? Anybody sort of had a really strange place for a picnic? Not sure. Maybe you went to the Olympics? Yes. Okay, here's a question. And Trafalgar Square? On Thursday night?
Thursday night this week.
Fantastic.
The show from the world.
Oh, brilliant. Excellent. Well, there you are. Trafalgar Square for a picnic. Some of you might have gone to the Olympics last year, had a picnic if you got tickets. Or maybe the Queen's Jubilee, some of those events, and you took picnics up in the town and you really enjoyed them. But we're going to go for a picnic a little bit later on today, 1 o'clock, High Elms, as you've heard. But we're going to stop for a moment and just thank God for some good things. And the Hutton Square family are going to come and lead us in prayer. So we're going to pray for a minute. So let's be as quiet as we can. I know we're all in together this morning. But we're going to pray, and maybe these guys are going to help us as well. We'll see how we get on. It's very different when you get up the front here. That's all right. We'll just pray as you want to. Don't you worry.
Can you remember? Do you want to pray?
Maybe not now. That's it, Fraser. You go for it.
Dear God, please help my teachers to have a nice rest. Please help everybody to have a nice holiday. We pray that things will go well in the holidays, and we pray that you will help us to get to know you better over the holidays. Amen.
Amen. That's a great prayer. Thank you. Carmen's not sure. Okay. You going to pray next?
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Let's pray.
Father, thank you for the luxury that many of us have of being able to take holidays, of time away from the things that we do day in, day out. We pray for refreshment during those times and that we'd make good use of time off to refocus on you and how you want us to live. We pray for those who will not get a real break from the work they do every day, whether it's in the office or caring for elderly or ill relatives. Lord, you know that we need rest as well as work, and I ask that you provide times of relaxation and rest for those who are stretched to breaking point. For those mums and dads who will be working during the school holidays, especially those who don't have family around to help, we pray for sympathetic and flexible employers and that parents will still be able to spend good times with the children when they leave the worries of work behind. Over the holidays, we ask that you would nurture relationships between parents and children as they spend more time together, that you'd help parents to model what it means to love you, including humility and repentance when we get things wrong. We pray for your spirit of peace and for the wisdom of Solomon in helping arguing siblings. We ask that over the summer break, you would be bringing whole families to get to know Jesus better and trust in him together.
Amen.
Amen.
I love that bit about the wisdom of Solomon. That's a great thing to pray for as a parent, isn't it? Right, Rob's going to lead us in prayer.
Father, we pray for your world. We lift up the situation in Egypt and ask that all sides would find a way to peace with justice. We ask you to give wisdom to our leaders as they consider whether and how to intervene. And we ask for courage and strength for our Christian brothers and sisters as they suffer increased attacks there. Here in the UK, we pray for Northern Ireland. Please bring calm to this troubled place and keep the police safe as they try to keep the peace. We ask that communities that so often invoke you would start to seek you, and that as they do so, they'd learn that violence and hatred are not your ways. Please raise up men and women there who can be truly wise leaders, who can help their country to put aside arguments over history and look instead to a shared future. And please help our political leaders too to enjoy some time to rest, reflect, and relax with their families over the summer. As they do so, we pray that you'd reveal yourself to them and that they'd come to know you better. Give the men and women around them who do follow you boldness to speak up and confidence in the truth and reliability of your word. We pray that, like Daniel, they would have the courage to point out error without regard to what the consequences might be for them. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys. One more prayer coming now. Maybe not. Okay. Maybe later. Okay. Well, we're going to stand and sing again. We're going to bring our gifts to God. So we're going to take our offering as we do that. And then we're going to come and have a look at this great story about the greatest picnic. So let's stand as we sing together, as our musicians lead us and as we take our gifts. Let's stand together now. Let's stand. I want you to grab hold of a Bible, if there's one in the seat in front of you. If you're a parent, maybe you can share the Bible with one of your children. We're going to look at this remarkable story together, where Jesus is at the greatest picnic that has ever taken place. You'll find it. So I'm going to read it actually from Luke. Can you go back to the other presentation? Thanks. Great. Luke chapter 9. I'm going to do this from verse 10, and that's page 1039, okay, in the Church Bible, and Sheila Pyman's going to come and read this great story to us, okay? So see if you can find it, see if you can follow it together, because we're going to be asking some big questions about this story this morning. Sheila, thank you so much for coming to read this for us. So Luke chapter 9, and just seven verses, verses 10 to 17, we're going to read that together. It's a much safer route up here, isn't it?
Beginning to read at verse 10. When the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. Then he took them with him, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. But the crowds learned about it and followed him. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God, and healed those who needed healing. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, "Send the crowd away so they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we're in a remote place here." He replied, "You give them something to eat." They answered, "We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Unless we go and buy food for all this crowd." About 5,000 men were there. But he said to his disciples, "Make them sit down in groups of about 50 each." The disciples did so, and everybody sat down. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. Then he gave them to the disciples to set before the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over.
Brilliant. Thank you, Sheila. Please leave your Bible open, okay? So I want to look at that story together this morning. Now, I've already got two volunteers to help me here. So, guys, you come on up for a second, all right? I was looking at this story during the week, and I thought, well, let's try it. So it's a picnic day, so I brought my picnic with me today. And I thought, well, we've just read about a picnic where somebody arrived, a little boy with a few bits of bread and some fish, and Jesus fed the crowd with it. So I thought, well, okay, let's do it. So there's the fish. I think we'll leave the fish, actually. I could get into trouble for opening fish like this in the church, okay? So we'll go with the bread, all right? I reckon, here's my lunch, two bread rolls. And I guess it's probably okay. We should be able to feed these folks pretty well with this bread, shouldn't we? Story we've just read, it says that at the end, the disciples went back and they picked up 12 sackfuls or 12 basketfuls of food that was left over. So I thought, well, let's do it, okay? So I want you to take that bread roll, and I want you to just turn around, okay, and see all these people here on the right-hand side. I want you to feed them, okay? And I want you to bring me back 6 big sacks of leftover bits of bread, all right? Can you do that? And if you could go down the other side and do the same thing, and then when you guys are finished, bring the bags of food that's left over back to me, all right? So we should have 12 bags of food left over, okay? So off you go. Okay, give a little bit. You just need to, you've got to go feed them. You've got to break it up. You've got to give it to them. All right, you break it up and give it to them. Okay, away you go. That's it. All right. I'm sure you'll be able to do a great job this morning. And as these guys make their way down through you, I just want you to grab your Bibles for a minute, okay? Have a look at the story, okay? Have your Bible in front of you. Because there's a couple of things about this story that I want to pick up on today. First of all, okay, try not to get too distracted, okay, as they come past you. But look at your Bible, and you will see that there are two very unexpected things that happen in this story. The first is the crowd that arrives. Okay, so if you've got your Bible, look at verses 10, 11, and 12. And you'll see the crowd that arrives are completely unexpected. And Jesus has had the disciples out on a kind of training course. And they've had a great time and they've seen great things happen. And they're tired. And they come back to Jesus and Jesus takes them away for a bit of a break and a bit of a rest. And then the obvious happens. A crowd arrives because wherever Jesus goes, the crowd seem to follow. Now, I don't know if you know what that's like when you're away on holidays and you get interrupted on your holidays. No one enjoys that, do you? I hope you're not the kind of person that's tied to your office. So you're sort of checking your emails every day. But if that email comes or that phone call comes and something you have to attend to, you don't feel great about it when you're on holidays, do you? You like the idea of being away and having a break and having a rest. Well, it was a bit like that for Jesus and the disciples here in Luke chapter 9. This unexpected crowd turn up. And Jesus welcomes the crowd. Have a look at your Bible and you'll see what happens. The disciples really want a bit of a break and a rest. And we read in verse 10 that when the crowd arrives, or rather verse 11, Jesus welcomes the crowd. And he speaks to them about the kingdom of God and he heals them. So the disciples are sort of thinking, we want a break, we want a rest, we really don't want this crowd to be around. And you got a little snapshot of what Jesus is like. You see the compassionate heart of Jesus as he welcomes people and teaches them about the kingdom of God and he heals them. So that's the first unexpected thing about this story that I want you to notice. It's an unexpected crowd. They're not expecting these people to arrive. And as the shadows begin to lengthen, the disciples come to Jesus and they say, we've got a problem. We've got all these people here. We would really like a bit of a break. So let's just send them home or find a place where they can stay for the night. Look at verse 12. Late in the afternoon, the 12 come to Jesus and they say, send the crowd away so that they can go to the surrounding villages and the countryside and they can find food and lodgings. Because we can't look after them. So send them away, Jesus. So the unexpected crowd. Second thing I want you to notice about this story is this very strange command in verse 13. It's a really unexpected command. Did you think Jesus was going to say this to the disciples? What does he say to the disciples? Somebody call it out to me. What does he say? You give them something to eat. You give them something to eat. That's a pretty unexpected command, isn't it? You think Jesus might have said to the disciples, yeah, guys, you know what, you're right. It's getting late. These people are hungry. They've been here all day. Let's send them away. And Jesus says, no. He says, you give them something to eat. That's a pretty unexpected command to hear. So what would you do if you're one of the disciples? Well, option one, you could head off and you could buy some food for these people, couldn't you? But how much food would you need to buy for probably 10,000 people? Because the Bible only seems to count the men, sadly, in this story. So there are women and there are children there. This is a massive crowd. So I think even Helen Amos would struggle with this one, wouldn't she? You'd probably need about 20,000 pieces of bread, maybe 10,000 fish. That's a lot of food to buy, isn't it? So I guess that probably wasn't going to happen. How did you get on this morning, all right? You got, where's the leftover food?
All in the bags.
All in the bags, which are completely invisible here, aren't they? We haven't done very well, have we? Are you guys all full? No. Look at that. What? It hasn't really worked too well, has it? Have you, you got some bread left over? He's a smart guy. He's a smart guy. He makes sure he's got some for himself anyway. You guys go and sit down for a minute, all right? You see, here's the big question. Are you guys well fed?
No.
And how could you be? Because he's kept some for himself. Well, humanly speaking, the situation that the disciples found themselves in was completely impossible. Okay, we've just demonstrated that this morning, haven't we? They had five pieces of bread, a couple of fish, and humanly speaking, they couldn't do it. We've tried to do it here this morning. It doesn't work. You're all still hungry. You're all still looking forward to your lunches. And there's nothing left over. And that's where the disciples found themselves, completely dependent on Jesus in this story. They got to the end of their own resources. And you know, that's what happens when we sort of push Jesus out of our lives. Push Jesus out of the situation, it can be a pretty hopeless place to end up. That's why Jesus gives them this unexpected command, because he wants the disciples to learn a little bit more about who he is and why he came and what it means to follow him. I'm going to come back to this story in just a minute. We're going to stand and sing another song, which is a prayer, really. It says, open the eyes of my heart, Lord, because I want to see Jesus. So if we want to learn from this story this morning, this is a great song for us to sing together as a prayer, saying, Lord, I want you to show me something from this story about how I can follow you more faithfully. So let's stand as we sing together. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Let's stand together. Well, we've sung that as a prayer. I want to see you. I want to see more of who Jesus is. Turn your Bibles back, please, to that passage that we're looking at in Luke chapter 9. Looking today at the greatest picnic that probably has ever been recorded. Can I have that PowerPoint back up here? Is that okay? Possible? Thanks. That'd be great. The greatest picnic that has ever taken place. Luke chapter 9. What does this story this morning have to teach us about Jesus? Children, you've got some sheets this morning. I want to encourage you as you look at those. Maybe there's a prayer that you can write towards the end of that sheet, and we can use those prayers at the end of our service this morning. But what does this have to teach us about Jesus, this story? The gospel writers write about Jesus because they want us to see who he is. They're putting up a picture. They're helping us to see that Jesus has authority to teach, authority over death, authority to heal, authority over nature, authority to forgive sins. And here in this amazing miracle that we're looking at this morning, we discover that Jesus has the authority to provide. He is the great provider. And as we head out into the summer, or maybe as you get a chance to slow down, and you have a chance to have a day out, and you have a picnic, I want to share with you this morning three things that you can take with you into the summer with you. Three great truths about Jesus that you can take away with you. As you spread out your picnic and as you head off on your holidays, these three things kind of get triggered in your mind, and you have a chance to think about them and to reflect on them, because they help us to understand a little bit more about it, what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Here's the first one. Jesus has authority to provide for us physically. We've seen that in this story this morning, haven't we? 10,000 people hungry people. We've tried it here this morning. It doesn't work, does it, when we take a few bits of bread and we try and feed everybody. And Jesus miraculously takes this bread and he takes the fish and he feeds thousands of people. And there's so much left over. And one of the things that we need to understand about this story is that Jesus is the great provider. He can provide for us physically. It takes us back into the Old Testament. Some people would have understood this in Jesus' day because they would have known how God had worked in their past. And they would have known that they traveled for 40 years in the wilderness and how Jesus had provided miraculous food back in the Old Testament for 40 years for well over 1 million people, day after day after day, to remind them that he was God. And this story is designed to point us back to God as the great provider. To remind us this morning that everything that we have and all that we are is dependent on God. Some great verses from the Old Testament. Look at this lovely verse from the Psalms. He makes grass, speaking about God, he makes grass grow for the cattle and plants for people to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth. That's God's task. God provides for us. Wine that gladdens human hearts, oil to make our faces shine, bread that sustains our heart. And in case we haven't got the message this morning, Psalm 24 verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. That's pretty all-encompassing, isn't it? And the first thing I want you to remember this morning as you head out into the summer, that Jesus has the ability to provide for us physically. Sometimes we need to get ourselves back into that place where we need to remember that all of the things that we have come to us as a gift from God. Your holiday is a gift to you from God. Your time out, your day out, your leisure, the money that you have to buy your picnic. They're gifts to us from God. And we need to remember this morning, firstly, that Jesus is the great provider. He provides for us and we are dependent on him. So there's the first thing to take with you into the summer. Second thing is this. That Jesus has the authority to provide spiritually. Just look at this story and just see towards the end of it how it ends up. We're told in verse 17 that they were all satisfied. What a contrast to what we tried to do this morning. You're all still hungry. But these folks were completely satisfied. That's a wonderful picture of what Jesus can do for us spiritually. That takes us back to something we were thinking about last Sunday morning, if you were here in Daniel, where we were learning to recognize some of the patterns of false worship today. Where we take the good things which God gives to us, and we allow them to come between us and God. And we don't enjoy the spiritual blessings that God longs to give to us. So we take our holidays, and we take our times of leisure, and we take our careers, and we take our retirements, and we take all of the good things that God gives to us, and then we put them between us and God. That's what false worship is all about. And the second truth that I want you to take away with you this morning is that Jesus is the only one who can truly satisfy us. I shared with you this quotation last week from a wonderful old theologian who talked to us about his own spiritual journey. And he said, I've looked everywhere for satisfaction. I've looked everywhere for fulfillment. And this is what he wrote. He says, God, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. He says, that's been my experience as I've searched for God. And the second great truth in this story is this, that Jesus has the authority to provide for us spiritually. John tells us in his account of this story that the very next day, Jesus preached a sermon, and he preached a sermon about himself being the bread of life. And he encouraged people to receive him spiritually, to feed on his teaching, in the same way that they had fed on the bread that he had given them the day previously. Jesus is the only person who has the ability and the authority to satisfy you completely. Augustine was right. We will always have that sense of restlessness, that sense of looking for something else, something more, until we discover a relationship with Jesus Christ and what it means to follow him. So, two great truths to take with you into the summer. Okay, Jesus has the authority to provide physically. He has the authority to provide spiritually. And finally this morning, and here's the big picture. He has the authority to provide for us forever. Maybe you need to be reminded about that this morning. Because as Christians, we know that God has some great things prepared for his people. The Bible talks about a new creation. It says there is more to life than you can touch and see and feel around you. There is a new creation which God is going to do one day when all things will be made new. And all of your physical needs and all of your spiritual needs will be completely met in Jesus Christ. That's very hard to describe, isn't it? And so what the Bible does for us, it kind of takes images and pictures that we do understand and says, it's going to be a little bit like this. And so surprise, surprise, the kingdom of God in the Old Testament is described in terms of a huge feast, a huge banquet. And we all know what it is to enjoy a great feast, don't we? Well, here we are. If you look at Isaiah chapter 25, and I have the words on the screen this morning, and I want us to read these words out loud together, because here's the big picture. Here's Jesus who has the authority to provide, not just in the present, not just in the immediate future, but forever. So let's read these words out loud. If you can see them from where you're sitting, read them with me, okay? On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wines, the best of meats, and the finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day, they will say, surely this is our God. We trusted in him, and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. And there's the key to faith in Jesus Christ. Trust. Putting our faith in the one who has the authority to provide, not just in the present, not just in the immediate future, but forever. Now, there's some great truths, aren't they, to take with us into the summertime. As you spread out your picnic, as you take time to enjoy rest and relaxation this summer, whether your picnic's with small children, or whether it's with adults, or whether it's a mix somewhere in between, or whether it's just a day out, take some time to reflect on what this great picnic story teaches us about Jesus. You will know that I am always very hot on saying, okay, what does this mean for us today? Here's the opportunity for us to put this into practice. If we believe that Jesus has the authority to provide physically for us, that means I need to... dot, dot, dot. How would you complete that sentence this morning? Because you see, Jesus has the ability to make the impossible possible. Maybe there's something that you need to ask Jesus for. Maybe you need to recognize that actually you've been living an independent life, and you need to recognize that you're dependent on God. If Jesus has the ability to provide physically, that means I need to. Put your answer in. If Jesus has the authority to provide for us spiritually, that means I need to. Maybe you've allowed some of the good gifts which God's given to you to come between you and God. And maybe you find yourself this morning involved in false worship, because you're worshipping the things which God has given you. Good things. But you're not worshipping God. He doesn't have number one place in your life. There are other things that have got in the way. Or maybe for some of you, you've been searching. He's searching for that sense of purpose, that sense of being made right with God, and you've looked all over the place. You've got that sense of restlessness. Why not commit your life to the person who has the authority to provide for your deepest spiritual needs? And finally, if Jesus has the authority to provide forever, to take us into God's new creation, what does that mean for us this morning? Do we need to change our perspective? Do we need a bit of encouragement? Because life is tough this morning. And you won't be having any picnics this summer. And you won't be going away. Because life's a bit difficult at the moment. And there are some real struggles going on. Maybe you need to be reminded that one day God is going to make all things new. That one day death will be no more. That one day we will be ultimately satisfied by a relationship with Jesus Christ which lasts forever. Great truths we can take with us into the summer. And I hope as you spread out your picnic, as you head off on your holidays, as you find yourself sitting on the beach, that some of the things that we've talked about this morning just get triggered in your mind. And you get a chance to think them through a little bit more than we're able to do this morning. Three great truths about Jesus Christ. The great provider. He provides physically, he provides spiritually, he provides forever. Those are great truths worth celebrating. And we're going to stand and we're going to sing two songs as we conclude this morning. And children, if you have written a prayer, why not bring that prayer to me, okay, while we're singing these songs? And if I'm able to read your writing, then we'll use some of those prayers at the end of our service as we conclude. So let's stand as we sing together and our musicians lead us. Let's stand now.